It's very important now that we talk about time management, because one of the biggest problems that salespeople have is in managing their time efficiently for a variety of reasons. Most salespeople have never been taught how to manage their time properly. But second of all, we tend to get into habits of mismanagement. The reason why it's so important for us to manage our time well is that we are all personal service corporations, and we sell our time, and that's all that we have to sell. If we don't sell our time or use our time effectively, then we simply cannot earn the kind of income that we want to earn. And I'm going to give you the basic keys for time management. Number one is you are only working when you're face-to-face with a real, live prospect or customer. That you're not working when you're shuffling cards, and you're not working when you're filling out forms, and you're not really working when you're doing proposals. These are all preludes. These are all preambles, but these are not working. The biggest mistake that salespeople make is they think, as long as I'm doing all this preparation work, it's part of my job. No, the only part of your job that really counts, the only hours of the day that count, are when you're face-to-face and belly-to-belly, as they say, with a customer. The only thing that you have to sell is your time, and you'll always be paid according to how well you use this particular asset. Work out your annual income. A very simple way to work out what your hourly rate is this. Let us say that you've decided that your goal for the year is $25,000. Divide that by approximately 250 days, which is the number of days that you'll work, which comes out to $100 a day. Divide that by 8, which comes out to approximately 8 hours, which comes out to approximately $12.50 an hour. And then never do anything that is not a $12.50 an hour activity. If you want to earn $50,000 a year, then every single hour must be spent doing $25 an hour activities. If you want to earn $75,000 a year, then every single hour must be spent doing $37.50 activities. It's very, very simple. If you're not engaged in activities that are generating this kind of income, then you will not earn the kind of money that you want. And remember, time is your only resource. So what are the major time wasters in selling? The major time wasters are, first of all, procrastination and delay. Putting off, getting out there, and talking to people. There's nothing that burns up more time than that. We stop off and do this. We sit down and have a cup of coffee. We spin our wheels over here. We have a chat. We keep putting it off. Number two is incompletion of the sales call, requiring callbacks. In other words, you're not prepared to close, or you don't close, or you don't ask for the sale often enough, so you have to go back again and back again. I remember once when I was a young man and I was making a living selling door-to-door, office-to-office, I was selling memberships in a discount club. And the cost of the memberships, I think, was $20, and this was some 15 years ago, 16 years ago, and my commission was 40%. Which means that I got $8 for every one that I sold. And at that time, it was worked out well. If you sold a few a day, it worked out pretty well. I was only about 23. I started off selling those, and I'd go door to door, office to office, and I would present the benefits of joining the discount club, and I would encourage the person to think it over, and I'd call them back. After building up a large clientele that was thinking it over and spending days and hours getting back to these people who were thinking it over and not getting anywhere, I made a decision one day that unless there was a very, very good reason, I was going to sell on the first call. Up to that time, I had been selling about 3 memberships a week and just barely scraping by. From that time on, I sold 3 to 5 memberships a day because I just simply made the decision mentally that I'm going in here to sell and I'm going to sell now, no callbacks, one time only. If you give people forever to think it over, they'll take forever to think it over. Because it's always easier to think it over than to make a buying decision. Inaccuracies and deficiencies is a major time waster. We get out there and we've got the wrong facts, we've got the wrong figures, we've got the wrong specifications, we've got the wrong price for the wrong order for the wrong materials. We've all had the occasion where we get out there and we've got exactly what we don't need in order to close the contract. So make sure that all of your paperwork is done correctly and check it in advance before you go. Ignorance is a major time waster, lack of product knowledge. The person says, well, what about this and what about that? And will it do this and will it do that? And we say, well, geez, golly, I don't know. I'm going to have to talk to somebody about that because we haven't done our homework. Very often, it's right there in the specifications, but we haven't read it yet. So then we have to go away and then we have to come back. We have to get another appointment. Then they're busy. Then they remember they saw you last time and you didn't seem to know what you were talking about. So they're a little bit hesitant to make another appointment with you. So really know your product. We've talked about this throughout. Product knowledge is the foundation of all sales success. Unconfirmed appointments, a major time waster. How many times do we go out to see somebody that we made an appointment with a week or 2 weeks before and we don't reconfirm? Do you know why we don't reconfirm? Because we don't want them to say no, right? We'd much rather go there and have the secretary tell us that they're too busy or that they're out or they've changed their schedule than call up on the phone and have them say, no, I've changed my mind. But it's far better to reconfirm the appointment. In most cases, one of two things will happen. They'll say, oh yes, I forgot, but you're right, you're coming over at 2 o'clock. They will make the time available and be expecting you. They'll also consider you to be a professional. A person who reconfirms appointments is a professional person who values their time and obviously has something valuable to say. The second thing is that if their schedule has changed, what they will do is they'll say, well, look, my schedule's changed, something else has come up, and you have the opportunity to make a new appointment right there, again to write it down so as not to waste your time. Nothing worse than driving halfway across town to an unconfirmed appointment and finding the person's gone to another city for the day. Poor planning of calls in a geographic area. We've all been guilty of this. We make one call in the northeast, another call in the southwest. We put an hour between our calls, and then in the afternoon we go all the way back up to the northeast again to call on somebody. It's very important that you cluster your calls, and if you're prospecting by telephone to set up appointments, keep all of your calls clustered in as close an area as possible. And if you're going to have set up 2 or 3 days of appointments, set up one cluster in one part of the city, another cluster in another part of the city, so that you can get to as many as possible within the shortest period of time. Perfectionism, insisting on everything being perfectly in order before selling. Very often we use this as an excuse. Well, we have to really memorize every single detail. We have to check on every single form. We have to get everything prepared. And we go over this and we do anything possible to keep us from getting out there face to face with a customer. Recognize that you're doing this. Recognize that it's natural and normal to fear rejection. It's natural and normal to be uneasy about going out and talking to people. There's nothing wrong with it. The only thing that is wrong with it is if you allow the fear to dominate you so that it holds you back from fulfilling your potential in your business. You've got to overcome that fear if you want to achieve high levels of success and high income in this field. There is no other way. And the only way to overcome it is to do it over and over again until it doesn't bother you. Distraction, mind wandering. Not paying attention to what the customer is saying, not paying attention to what the boss is saying for that matter, so that you miss key cues, you miss the nuances, you miss the subtle things, you miss the looks that the person gives at certain parts of your offering that would indicate to you what it would take to cause the person to buy or not to buy. Fatigue or overwork is another one. Being overtired. If you go out late at night and you get up early in the morning and you're tired out or you're dragged out, you're not going to be good at selling. The essence of selling is vitality. If you like, personal vitality, energy. And the more energy you have, the more energy you project in the form of enthusiasm and conviction to the other person. If you're tired out, you have low levels of energy, like a battery that's been worn out. And I strongly suggest that if you're going to sell 5 days a week, you owe it to yourself to go to bed early 5 days a week so that you're fresh and alert. This will translate into an enormous amount of money. Go to bed early, get a good night's sleep so you feel great in the morning and that you have the resilience. When you meet that rejection, when people say, no, I'm not interested, I'm not in the market, I can't afford it, which you're going to reach every day. I think it was Vince Lombardi that said, fatigue doth make cowards of us all. When you're tired, it's very hard to take rejection. It depresses you, it tires you out even more. Whereas if you're fresh and you're resilient and you've got energy and you've had a good breakfast, people can tell you no and it'll just bounce off you, just like Teflon, if you like. It's very important. Lack of ambition, desire, and energy, especially lack of ambition. There's nothing that can help a person that has no ambition. I was talking to a senior salesperson from one of Canada's largest companies, and it turns out that these people all have an average length of service of about 20 years. They never get fired because they've got a salesman's union. They're all on fixed salary. There's no incentives and no commission. And I was trying to talk to them about setting goals for themselves, setting higher targets, managing their time better. I'm sorry, he said, I can't relate to any of that. He said, I have no ambition. He said, I don't care if I do more, I don't care if I do less. It doesn't change my income, it doesn't change my position, it doesn't change my responsibilities. Why should I? He said, I just prefer to work my 8 hours and go home and watch television. This is a 40-year-old man. Oh my Lord, I said, you're going to live till you're 80 or 90 years old, according to the latest longevity studies, And at 40 years old, the fires are out. At 40 years old, there's no ambition, there's no desire, there's no energy, there's no enthusiasm. What kind of a person is that? He's got another 50 years to live. Probably not. Okay, here are some tips to increase your sales effectiveness by using your time to maximize efficiency. Number one, advanced planning. Peter Drucker says that action without thinking is the cause of every failure. The time it takes you to sit down and go through this course material and work out your presentation, identify your prospects, organize what you're going to say, plan your closes, and, by the way, practice them on your family. Practice them on your children. Practice them on your bosses. Practice them in your office, if you like. Practice them on your fellow salespeople, and especially practice them on your prospects, because there's nothing that will make you more fluent in selling than going out and actually doing it. When you're spending 2 or 3 or even 4 or 5 hours a day with customers explaining in the high-tension situation of selling, it's draining. It just will exhaust you. You can come home at the end of a selling day and be wiped. If that's the case, go to bed early. Get 10 hours sleep. Get 12 hours sleep. But you owe it to yourself and you owe it to your success to be fresh. Read 20 to 30 minutes in sales motivation or inspiration every morning to get started right. Get up early enough to sit and think and reflect and plan your day and learn and read. This is the most valuable lesson that I've ever given to anyone in sales. I do it myself every morning. If I go to bed at 5 o'clock in the morning and I have an appointment at 9, I get up at 7 or 7:30 so I can spend the time to read. Because I find that if you spend 30 minutes reading every morning, your whole day gets set off right. If you don't spend the time reading, what you do is you're just like an athlete that rushes onto a field into competition without any warm-up period. Schedule your first appointment early. Very important, especially the people that are the hardest to get to. Very often, they're the ones that are in the office at 7 or 7:30. Sometimes they're in even earlier. And they're the ones often who stay in the office till 5:30 or 6. And if you will offer to meet them early, meet them in their office for coffee at 7:30 in the morning, often they're just wide open to it. They're just gung-ho people. And the people who are the most difficult to get to see, who have the least time to spare to see you, are almost always your most valuable prospects. Have you noticed the people that have all the time in the world never buy anything? It's the people that are hard to get through to that are the valuable ones. So be creative. I remember once I called a fellow for an appointment using my opening line. He said, sure. He said, why don't you come and see me in the morning? I said, what time in the morning? He said, well, how about early? I said, sure, I'll come early. He said, how about 6? I said, oh, sure, okay. You know, yeah. What time would you really like to get together? He said, 6. I'll be in the office by 6. I'm never in there later than 6. I learned later that that was true. I said, okay, I'll meet you in your office at 6. I'd rise to the challenge. It turned out to be actually very good. Over the course of a couple of years, I did a lot of business with that company. Well, it was the middle of the winter. The snow was drifting. I got up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I got dressed. I drove all the way across town through the snow, and I drove up to this person's office. I got there early. I wasn't going to get there late. I was there at 5:45, and I parked my car in the parking lot, and the parking lot was lit up with these overhead lights, and there wasn't another car for miles. And I sat there with my engine on, with the heater going, sitting in the parking lot, saying to myself, what if I have been bamboozled? And I'm sitting there thinking and waiting. 6 o'clock comes, nobody's there. 6:05, 6:10, 6:15, he showed up. He had trouble getting out of his garage, it had happened. But he was there. We had a very, very good meeting, and it led to an enormous amount of business. But I couldn't have gotten to see him during the day because he was just far too busy. Spend 75% of your time prospecting until you become too busy servicing customers. Get out there and prospect. See people. Knock on doors. When I've started in any sales field, I make one resolution. And you can use this today as a starting point. Starting off, decide you're going to go out and make 100 calls within the next 20 to 30 days. You're going to make 100 calls, cold calls or telephone calls, and get face-to-face with 100 new prospects. If you will do that, you'll never look back. Get that head of steam going. Don't worry whether you close this one or close that one or anything else. Just get out and see 100 people and tell them about your product in a logical, organized way, and you'll never look back. The reason why people aren't making a lot of money in selling is because they're not talking to enough people. That's the reason. It's not because business is bad or prices are up or unemployment is high. It's because people aren't talking to enough people. And I know salespeople who are making excellent wages today, excellent incomes, in the same industries that other people say there's no business because business is terrible. Well, spend your entire day working. Make every minute count. Don't think of your day in terms of hours. Don't think of it in terms of mornings and afternoons. Think of it in terms of minutes. Thomas Carlyle once said a very interesting thing. He said, people that would never think of committing suicide or ending their life would think nothing of dribbling their life away in useless minutes and hours every day. So use every minute. Make every minute count. Don't waste coffee breaks. Don't just ever sit down and have a cup of coffee and spend 15 or 20 or 30 minutes just killing time drinking coffee. Always be working. Have coffee with clients. Have coffee on the road. Have coffee when you're preparing something. But don't just sit and have a coffee break. You are not salaried laborers. Salaried laborers have coffee breaks. You are professionals in one of the most exciting professions in the world, and the only thing you get paid for is your time usage. Look at these statistics. If you save 20 minutes every morning and 20 minutes every afternoon by never taking coffee breaks or by using that time usefully, that's 2 coffee breaks a day times 20 times 5 days a week, working days, times 50 weeks a year, which is the number of weeks you work. It works out to 10,000 minutes. Do you know what 10,000 minutes works out to? It works out to about 166 hours a year. 166 hours equals 4 plus weeks of 40-hour weeks of working time. It equals an additional month's income per year just by not wasting coffee breaks. What's even worse is look at the next statistic. Work at lunchtime. Never sit around eating lunch. Never go out and waste time eating lunch. Use your lunch hours. If you cannot be calling on people or having lunch with prospects or customers, use your lunch hours to get ready to be out at it again immediately after lunch. If you save your lunch hours or use them for useful work rather than sitting around wasting time with other people who are going nowhere with their lives for that matter, 1 hour per day times 5 days per week times 50 weeks a year works out to 250 hours per year. 250 divided by 40 equals what? It equals 6 plus weeks, 40-hour weeks each year, which means that if you use your lunch times well and use your coffee breaks well and you take a few minutes in the morning, get started a little bit earlier, you can find you can add as much as 2.5 to 3 months of income to your income every year. And I guarantee you, that's what the top people are doing. That's what the big money makers are doing. They're not sitting around drinking coffee, complaining, moaning and groaning. And I'm not saying that you do it either. I want to tell you something about this course and you. And it is that we know from the work that we've done all over the country that only the most exceptional people will come to courses like this. That of the thousands and even probably 10 to 15,000 people who've seen our advertising, only you decided to take the time and invest it in yourself to learn how to be more effective in selling, which means that you've already made the decision to be outstanding in this field. And I take my hat off to you. And that's why I say to my wife over and over again, I said, the people that come to our courses are always the very best people, because only the best people will invest in themselves. And so when I give examples and I talk about wasting time, I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about the people that aren't here, all right? Listen to tapes in your cars, always. Avoid the radio. Make all driving time learning time. The average salesperson drives 25,000 miles a year if they move around. 25,000 miles a year at a very minimum is 500 hours per year. 500 hours divided by 40 equals 12.5 weeks, which one university semester every single year that you can spend learning. What is going to happen to a person who's learning 12.5 weeks a year? If you took 12.5 weeks a year off to increase your talents and abilities, how much more capable or more competent, how much more highly paid would you be? Listen to tapes. I cannot overemphasize this. I'm a fanatic on tapes. Tapes have done me so much good. Tapes have helped me and everybody that I know so much. I do not know a really successful salesperson who is not listening to tapes in their car every single minute they're driving. I do not know an unsuccessful salesperson who does listen to tapes. And it's as simple as that. You say, well, I can't afford them. Don't believe it. One set of tapes by the right authority that gives you one idea that enables you to close one more sale per week or one more sale per day, that's all you need to put yourself in the big money makers in your profession. And the information that is on tapes, because of the competitive nature of tape production, is some of the finest information available in the world. There's information on this tape that have taken some of our smartest men and women their lifetimes to learn, to consolidate and put it on a few tapes for a few dollars. So by all means, listen to tapes. Use a day timer and write down every note and appointment. With regard to a day timer, I think the finest time management system I've ever seen is the system here called Your Time and Your Life by Charles Hobbs. I think it's one of the finest tape programs ever taped. It teaches you how to use a day timer, and if you use a day timer properly, you can as much as double the effectiveness of your time management. Upgrade your sales skills continually. Get better, get sharper. Read more books, listen to more tapes, attend more seminars, and practice, practice, practice. If you can increase your ratio of closes to presentations, it's the very best use of your time. If you can close one sale a day with your current level of skill, and you can close two sales a day with an upgraded level of skill, you can literally double your income. And that's possible just simply by making the efforts. See more people, prospect and qualify more readily. Selling is always a numbers game. See better people, but see more of them. Start earlier and work later. Always concentrate on the most productive use of your time. Always ask yourself, is what I'm doing right now leading to a sale? Don't do anything that is not leading to a sale. Use your prime time, your specific hours between 8 and 6 every single day to see people. Do your paperwork, do your detail work, do your planning work away from those prime time hours. Remember, you're only selling when you're face to face, belly to belly, with somebody who is qualified and who's capable of buying. 10 keys to success in selling. These I pass on to you as helpful hints, because if you'll use them properly and you use them continually, they'll literally guarantee you a lifetime of success in selling. Number one, most important, learn to love your work and commit yourself to becoming outstanding in your field. Take the time, pay any price, do whatever is necessary to become the very best at what you do. The great tragedy is that many people, the majority of people, will spend their entire lives in selling, and it'll never occur to them that they should commit themselves to becoming excellent at it. Remember, the race goes to the person who's just a little bit better in the critical areas. And if you'll take the time, if you'll make the efforts, if you'll really put yourself into it and learn to love what you're doing, when you become excellent, that's when you move into the big money ranks of sales professionals. There's one more important element, is that you can never really feel terrific about yourself. You can never really like yourself genuinely and accept yourself as a worthwhile person until you have become good at what you do. The reason why the vast majority of people are unhappy is because they're not good at anything. And every single human being has the ability to become good at something. So commit yourself to that, work at it, pay any price to achieve that goal. Number two, decide exactly what it is you want in life. Set it as a goal and decide the price you're going to have to pay to get it. Remember, nothing worthwhile ever comes without sacrifice. The great majority of people, less than 5%, probably less than 3%, never decide what they want in their whole lives. They spin their wheels, they work hard, they are frustrated, but they never set a goal or a target. That's why it's so important to write it down. Write it down in detail. Think about it every single day. Get a clear mental picture of it and hold it in front of you. A person should be able to wake you up at 3 o'clock in the morning and say, what is your major definite goal in life? And you should be able to tell them that instant. Number three, back every goal and plan with persistent determination and indomitable willpower. Put your whole heart and soul into your success. Don't hold anything back and don't let anything stop you or discourage you. Remember this, is that your level of persistence in the face of adversity and setbacks and disappointments is your exact measure of your belief in yourself. You can tell where you're going to be in 1 year, 2 years, 3 years by how well you respond to the inevitable adversities, rejections, disappointments, deals that fall through every single day in selling. And remember that circumstances do not make the man, they simply reveal him to himself. All adversity does is it shows you what you're made of. And you can tell how successful you're going to be by how well you bounce back. As Charlie Jones says, it's not how far you fall, but how high you bounce that counts. Resilience, flexibility, the willingness to bounce back, to take the hard, rough shocks of selling and to keep on keeping on is one of the key characteristics of successful men and women in every field, especially in selling. Number four, commit yourself to lifelong learning. Read, listen to tapes, attend seminars, attend courses, and never forget that the most valuable asset that you'll ever have in your life is your mind and what you put into your mind. Now, this is so important because when we start off in life, the fact is that we start off with a limited amount of practical knowledge or knowledge that we can use to the benefit of other people. As we learn, we become more valuable. The more knowledge we put into our minds that can be applied to practical purposes, the more our rewards will be, the more we'll be paid. And as we go through life, as we gain more experience, as we read more books, as we listen to more tapes, as we attend more courses, our knowledge grows and our rewards in life grow. But there's one very dangerous thing with this pot of knowledge that we have, or this bucket of knowledge, is that it has a steady leak in the bottom. And that if we are not continually learning more, we are not staying constant with the knowledge we have. The knowledge we have is actually diminishing. And the incompetent person of tomorrow is the person who has stopped learning. The illiterate is the person who is no longer learning and growing and increasing their value every single day. So remember, never stop learning. The day that you stop learning is the day that you start decreasing your rewards, you start suffering frustration and lower levels of satisfaction. Learn something new every day. Practice something new every day. Make yourself a lifelong learning organism and never, never stop. Use your time wisely. Well, I've said that often enough. Always ask yourself this question, the key question to time management. What is the most valuable use of my time right now? What is the most valuable use of my time right now? This is the most important single question in managing your time. If you can always answer that whatever it is, that's what you're doing. You're never wasting a minute. You're always spending your time on the most valuable use of your time. You'll never go wrong. Follow the leaders. Very important. Do what they do. Follow the ones who are going somewhere with their lives. Don't follow the followers. Make the decision to look at the people who are the very best in your field and decide to be like them. Get around them. If you want to know how to be a successful salesperson, find the most successful salesperson you know and go and ask them. Say, what books do you read? What tapes do you listen to? What can I do to be more successful? I spoke to a friend of mine who made this decision some years ago in sales, and he told me an interesting story. He said that he started off with a large company, and he was low man in the totem pole. They had several hundred salespeople, and he went to one of their sales conventions. And at the sales convention, he listened to the top salespeople in the company give their talks at the end of the year, receive their awards, and so on. And he sought them out, and he took a tape recorder with him. And he went to each one. That's all he did. He said, could I talk to you for a few minutes? I want to be successful like you. Could you tell me what to do? What books did you read? What advice can you give me? And you know something? They were shocked. Every case, they were surprised because they had been at the top, the creme de la creme of this company for years. And none of those hundreds of other salespeople had ever asked them. They had never asked them. He listened. He took lessons. He took the books. And every year he went back. And this was over a course of about 8 years. Every year he went back and he asked the top salespeople, how did you do it? What were the difficulties that you had? How did you overcome it? Have you read anything new? Have you listened to anything? Did you go to any courses? And he would go any distance to go to a course. He'd pay any price for a book or for a tape program. He did what they did. And within 8 years, he was up on the stage receiving the awards. He was up on the stage being the top salesperson and one of the top salespeople in the nation. And that's exactly the way every person does it. The rest of the salespeople hang around with the people who are going nowhere. Dr. David McClelland of Harvard found that if you associate with a reference group, in other words, friends, associates, colleagues, family, and so on, who are not success-oriented, that alone can stop any possibility of you ever being a success in life. Your choice of people to associate with, both personally, business-wise, socially, is one of the most important choices you ever make in your life. And if you associate with turkeys, you'll never fly with the eagles. It's so important. Birds of a feather flock together, and it's because we are so affected by the suggestive influences of the people we're around that if they're not motivated, if they're not positive, if they're not up, we'll start to be just like them. We're all, in a way, like chameleons. We take on the coloring, the attitudes, the opinions of the people that we associate with on a regular basis. So it's very, very important that you associate with people who are going somewhere. The choice of a negative or demotivated reference group is enough to cut off all possibilities of your achieving what you're capable of achieving. Number 7 is guard your integrity as a sacred thing. As Ralph Waldo Emerson said, the most important thing you'll ever have is your integrity. And when we talk about your integrity, we don't just mean that you don't lie or cheat or steal or embezzle or anything like that, because people don't do that in our society. 95% of people are very, very honest. When we talk about integrity, we mean what Shakespeare said, to thine own self be true, and then it must follow as the night, the day, thou canst not then be false to any man. Be true to yourself. Be true to your own goals. Remember in school they used to tell us if you cheat on exams, you're only cheating yourself? Well, in life, if we take those coffee breaks and those extended lunch breaks and we get started late and we quit early, it's even worse than cheating on the exams, because that's not being true to ourselves. It's not being true to our full potential. If we get up early even when nobody's looking, and if we work late even when nobody's looking, believe me, as long as you're looking, you're going to feel great about yourself. It's wonderful to work 10 or 12 hours and know you've really accomplished something. That's what makes you feel absolutely fantastic. In an interesting study they did some years ago, they found that only 2% or less of all people are capable of working without supervision. All the rest either need casual supervision or direct supervision in order to do a job. Only 2% can plan their work and work their plan. And that's why many people come into sales, and you know what? They drop out of sales and go back into a salary job where somebody will supervise them, because they just can't stand the freedom of having to be self-disciplined and self-organized. So guard your integrity is a sacred thing. Remember, in the ultimate end, you're answerable to yourself. You're answerable, as the poem says, to the man in the glass. And as long as that person looking back at you from the mirror is a sort of person that you respect and admire and look up to and is growing toward their full potential, then you'll always feel good about yourself. Use your inborn creativity. Think of yourself as a genius. Say to yourself over and over again, I'm a genius, 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 because you are. Many people say, hey, come on now, Brian, don't oversell your case. I'm going to tell you something, that nobody disputes this seriously on the university campuses or in the research laboratories. Every single person has the ability to perform at genius levels in something. Genius levels just simply means that our sensitivity, our creativity, our awareness in certain areas, certain fields, is very, very high. For some people, it may be collecting stamps. For another person, it may be selling. For another person, it may be cooking. For another person, it may be flower arranging. For another person, it may be art. Everybody has the ability to do at least one thing, and sometimes more than one thing, in an outstanding fashion. What holds us back from that is the belief that we're just average, that we really don't have that ability, so what's the use in trying? Each person is a genius. Each person is born a genius and has enormous reserves of creativity deep down inside, which they can use if they stir them up and practice every day. When you see a problem or an obstacle, always look upon it as a challenge. This is just a challenge for me to apply my creative mind to removing, like a rock in the road. Treat every prospect like a million-dollar customer, as though they were the most important person in the world. I think it was Jesus of Nazareth who 2,000 years ago enunciated the golden rule. Treat every person as though you would like yourself to be treated. That's very, very important. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. If you'll always treat your customers and always treat your employers and always treat everybody around you as though they were worth $1 million, because they are. You know, we consider ourselves worth $1 million. We consider ourselves worth far more than that. If you think of how much it would cost, if somebody wanted to say, look, would you sell me your heart? How much would you sell it for? Is there any price you would put on your heart? Now, we're worth an awful lot. We're worth an awful lot to ourselves. We can be worth an awful lot to the world, too. Treat every prospect well. And ask yourself this question with regard to that. And I think it's a great question. What kind of a company would my company be if everybody in it was just like me? It's called the Universal Maxim by Immanuel Kant. Conduct your life, live your life as though everything that you were to do was to become a universal maxim and everybody was going to do exactly what you did. If that was to become the rule, as though you were the emperor and everything you did was to become a universal law for everyone else in the kingdom, just think of what kind of a standard of performance we would put on ourselves. And finally, I'll leave you with this: work hard and you will succeed. Work hard. And that is from Baron de Rothschild, one of his keys to success in life, one of the richest self-made men in the history of the world. He said, work hard and you will succeed. Not work hard and you might succeed, but work hard, work smart, put your shoulder to the wheel, start early and work late, and put your time in now rather than later. Let me just leave you with one last analogy with regard to hard work, and that is this. Does anybody know how to fly an airplane? Then you can relate to this. When you get clearance for takeoff and you pull onto the strip, you get your clearance from the tower over the radio, you've done all your check, and then you
aim the aircraft down the runway, and you put on full throttle, full blast. And you go whipping down the runway until you hit takeoff speed. The air lifts up the wings, and the plane climbs, and it climbs to its flying altitude with the throttle on full. Isn't that right? You have to do that in order to get off the ground. You have to have full throttle in order to get off the ground. But you cannot maintain full throttle once you get off the ground, can you? Because it burns up the engine, it burns up too much gasoline. So when you get to cruising altitude, you pull it back a little bit. And you don't have to have it at full blast. This is the way life is. This is the way our sales careers are. To a certain point in our sales careers, we have to put on full throttle in order to take off and get to the height where we don't have to have it on full throttle, where we can back off and we have a little bit more time with our families, a little bit more time for holidays. But let me ask you the question, those of you who know how to fly, what would happen if we pulled back on the throttle while we're still on the ground? We would never get off the ground, would we? We would go down that runway forever. Now, there's two times when you have to work hard in your sales career, and you can pick the two times. One is at the beginning, and work full blast, and work early and late, and work hard until you get off the ground, until you get to cruising altitude, and then you can pull back, and then it's not so hard. Or you can work just slightly less than full throttle, and you can work that speed for the rest of your life, and you'll never get to takeoff speed. Now, that's a very subtle distinction. You understand what I'm saying? It's terribly important that if you'll work full blast for a certain period of time, pretty soon you'll get up there. But if you hold anything back, at least at the beginning, especially at the beginning, then you never do get to the heights that you're capable of reaching. So finally, I leave you with that, is work hard and know that good times and bad, if you will work hard, if you will work smart, if you will plan your presentations, if you'll ask the person to buy, if you'll manage your time well, if you'll work on your own self-esteem, if you will read and learn and grow as a person, you can become one of the great ones in selling. You can become one of the best ones in your field, and you can get all the joy and satisfaction and material rewards that you could possibly ask for in life.
Hi, this is Dan Strutzel. At this moment, you're probably feeling excited, inspired, motivated, empowered, and most importantly, ready to apply the information you've just heard. We at Nightingale Conant want you to keep that feeling going today, tomorrow, and for the rest of your life, and use it to create the life of your dreams. But we know that's not always easy to do. I'm going to share with you a simple yet extremely effective secret that will help you to maintain the motivation you're feeling right now and really achieve the goals that first inspired you to listen to this program. It's called the Online Mission Statement Builder. In just 5 short minutes, this free, easy-to-use online service will give you a detailed, clearly defined, printed statement of your life's mission that will give you the power to truly accomplish any goal, spiritual, personal, or financial. Your mission statement will be like a guiding light, keeping you focused on what's important, the person you're becoming, the life you dream of, and the goals you plan on achieving, so your life unfolds exactly the way you want it to. Use this free service now, and you'll immediately propel yourself toward the achievement of your goals and dreams. I know, because thousands of people have already taken this opportunity and experienced rapid and dramatic life transformations as a result. This is your invitation to be next. If you're committed to having more, doing better, and living life to the absolute fullest, and you'd like to achieve those goals in record time, simply visit our website at www.nightingale.com/mission-statement to begin the process. That's www.nightingale.com/mission-statement. Remember, there is no cost for this powerful service and no obligation. But I do urge you to visit www.nightingale.com/mission-statement now. If you hesitate, the momentum you feel now may fade away over the days and weeks to come. That's what happens to most people. They let their hopes and dreams pass them by. Please don't let that be you. Take action now and you'll change your personal, professional, and financial future immediately and forever. Go to www.nightingale.com/mission-statement today.